cliffcentral.com.
Yo.
You still got the New York in you.
Oh, that would, is that what that is? Okay, sorry.
I thought it was a little MC Hammer.
I don't know what it was. Let's start again. Hello.
Hello, and how do you do?
How's that?
I prefer the MC Hammer.
Yo. What's happening? We're all here. We're live. It's Friday. It's the 25th of October. Summer's here, but my God, I think we need a little bit of rain.
Please.
We had some earlier this week.
It was like
sweat. That's all.
Not enough.
Whole team's here for you this morning. We've got Sia and Gugu. No, Gugu's not here. Hang on. I'm looking. No, you know where he was? He was on SA First Dates last night. That's why he's on my mind.
First Dates SA.
Yeah, look, someone sent us a picture of Gugu on TV.
Oh.
So even though he's in Spain, he's still here.
I didn't realize it was his episode last night.
No, did anyone record it?
Oh, no.
Well, we don't need to these days. It's 2019.
Can we get a copy of it?
No, I'm sure it's next week.
No.
I think that's a promo.
Well, this looks like it comes off of YouTube, so maybe it's already online. Have a look, Sia.
I saw it being advertised.
That's why I mentioned Gugu, but Pinky's in here. Whoopsie. And a lot of people very, very enchanted by Pinky this week and expecting her to make a regular appearance, so we may have to talk about that.
She doesn't sound enthused.
Yeah, she's like, oh, God, really? This 5 o'clock in the morning thing is just not good. Nobody loves that. How are you, Leanne?
I'm good. Very nice to see you. I haven't seen you since you got back.
I was going
to
say, I've seen everybody else except you this week.
Mm.
Yeah. Thanks for holding down the fort.
Oh.
Along with Ben and sometimes Sia. Yeah. You have fun?
I did.
Everybody behave themselves?
Yeah. Well, you know Ben sometimes, but he was okay.
Sometimes. That's the problem with him. He's very unpredictable. Yeah. All right. Well, we have a lot to get our teeth into today. I'm just so happy it's Friday. I don't know why I'm such a child about this.
Is it supposed to be No Politics Friday?
It is.
Because we've got a bit to discuss.
What, like the DA? No.
All right. We'll leave it.
We're over that.
Oh, we're all DA'd out.
Yeah, no, nobody. And I said this yesterday and the day before. Nobody actually cares. So, you know, you hear everybody who's really like, you're the DA. There are a couple of kinds of people who are excited about this.
Okay.
Number one is the hardcore current affairs news types, right?
Mm.
And that's maybe 2% of the whole population. Yeah, like a lot of them are journalists and they get very excited about breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's people who love the DA.
I love the DA.
Who? Yeah. And they're about, I don't know. 2% of the population.
Well, the percent that voted.
Then it's probably, so the percent that voted. So they got, 22% in the last election? That means, and that's of the people who voted. So, call it 1 or 2 million people then who really love the DA or who care about the DA.
Okay.
All right.
I see them
around.
That's
a lot of people.
On the Saturday morning, they're the ones cleaning the pavements and the embankments. And
tidying up their house. And like they've got pride in themselves. Is that what you're saying about DA voters? That's not a bad thing to say about them.
It is a good thing.
And then they're the ones who actually secretly hate, or not even so secretly, hate the DA. And whenever there's misfortune for them, suddenly they're all over it. Like everyone who likes the ANC or the EFF. Or people who like...
Well, the ANC has misfortune every day.
Well, that's it. I mean, you can't really compare.
Yeah, this is a new thing.
But there, that's the sum total of our politics for this morning.
There we go. Okay.
Much more exciting
stuff. It was
good.
It was analytical, statistical, very nice.
Yeah, we're done. We brought in some stats, everything.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
And you know how stats are tough for us.
We're terrible at that. So I drove in this morning. And first of all, I can tell that it's summer because the sun is up at 5, which is lovely. And it's beautiful. You know, Joburg gets a really bad rap. I've said this once or twice before, but it bears saying again. Joburg gets a bad rap. It's not as pretty as Cape Town from the point of view of the sea or the mountain.
We don't have those landmarks.
No. It's not as obviously beachy as Durban, and it doesn't have the year-round brilliant weather that Durban has. Look, Pinky, your hometown, Bloemfontein, has nothing.
So yeah.
I mean, that is a shithole.
I
really
nothing there.
It has flatness.
I can't even defend it.
No, you can't. And PE, you know, I've seen people that, like, they really filter the photographs a lot, and then PE can look can look pretty. I always give PE shit, but really, it can look pretty. Joburg doesn't have that. You know, if you were doing, like I did when I landed from New York on Monday morning, if you do an aerial sweep around Joburg and you come through from sort of that cradle area in Krugersdorp, it's dry, it's brown, even now in October because we haven't had rain yet. It's not that attractive, but there are buildings, you know, and I talked about that big Leonardo building that just gets higher and higher. And now you can see it from far away.
Mm-hmm.
And the PwC building in Midrand at the Mall of Africa.
Mm-hmm. That whole area.
It's a bit of a landmark now, you
Have
know?
You seen that at night?
It's beautiful.
It has different lights,
yeah,
and
beautiful.
There's a light sequence. It's a nice little,
you know,
show.
It is a nice show.
And you'd love a light sequence.
And I have
sequence.
To tell you, like, even the older skyline of Joburg, which includes like the Hillbrow Tower and the Carlton Center and the Ponte building, and you know, there's something kind of charming about it. But let's not bullshit ourselves. Joburg is not gorgeous like, you know, Paris or Cape Town or Sydney or any of those.
It's more a vibe.
It's a vibe.
It's an electricity.
And when
we're not being outed.
When that summer sun is just rising and there's this copper color that gets thrown up against the mountains and against the buildings and, well, not mountains, but hills.
Hills, yeah.
And you see it reflected in the glass and you see this energy. Like this city is buzzing, man. There's a lot going on here. And I do love it. People say to me, you were in New York. Aren't you, like, sad that you had to come back? And I want to address something this morning. I had a conversation with someone yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I am sick to death of people complaining. Now, I know that's me complaining about them. But here's the deal. I say this over and over again, and it's not because I'm trying to persuade myself. It's because it is statistically and verifiably true that you are the luckiest human being in your family tree ever. To be alive now, you have freedoms that ancestors of yours could only dream of. You have no compulsion to have to go to war for some king or president or emperor or pope. You don't have to shit in a bucket.
Standing
queues, you know,
for braid.
I'm obviously, there are still people who are shitting in buckets. You know, I mean no disrespect if you are listening to us right
if
now.
If you're
while
a bucket shitter. Wow.
While you're shitting in a bucket, you know, we love you.
We aren't shaming you.
And that's because the government hasn't laid on services for you.
It's not your fault.
It's unacceptable. But most of us, you open a tap, and guess what? Like magic, water comes out. That was not possible 150 years ago. Anyway, even if you're the richest person in the world, they had to bring you a ceramic bowl, and then you'd wash your hands in that, and then someone would have to take it out again. Even if you were rich, 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 powerful, used to take a pee in a little pot, a piss pot.
A gazander,
and you'd
was
put
called.
It, and you'd,
gazander the bed.
And you'd put it under the bed afterwards with a stink of piss wafting through the air in your palace bedroom if you were a king. I mean, imagine the poor people. They just used to open the window and turf it out into the head of whoever's walking underneath. You know, we used to make a fire. We'd all stink of smoke the whole time because that's the only way we'd keep warm in the winter. We stank. We didn't wash.
The plastic. I was what? Actually telling Sia yesterday.
Yeah?
That I once slept in a plastic.
What do you mean? Like a plastic bag?
You know those plastics they use to wrap mattresses?
Oh, you're kidding.
When
you slept
moving.
In one. You slept in one of those?
Yeah.
Because it was so cold?
It was too lazy to unpack. I just moved.
You are, that is, so this is just laziness. This isn't poverty.
Nasty. Look, it was either I unwrap my plastic, my mattress is going to get dirty.
I thought you had some, like, poverty backstory there.
We were going to hear a sad story about Pinky's horrible upbringing. Who's that? Is that your alarm, Leanne? It's a bit late.
Oh, just waking up.
Wow, Leanne just woke up, everybody. Her alarm just went off. So, Pinky, it's not a sad story. It's just laziness.
It's just laziness.
And what did you stink that morning? Because
no, it was cold. It was actually quite cold. So that actually helped. The plastic helped.
Eyeball. That's disgusting.
It is.
I'm embarrassed for you.
And it's weird. Imagine sleeping on plastic and then it crinkles and wrinkles in the night and, like,
no,
wouldn't that wake you up?
Look, I would slept be like a baby.
That's what happens to my face in the night. Wrinkles and crinkles.
You slept like a baby in the plastic.
Yes.
Jesus. Well, you know what? Then you know how great it is to actually be on a mattress with blankets or sheets or pillows. Well,
you know, it is recycling, actually, if you think about it.
Yeah, she's using it. Like, environmentalists can't be cross with Pinky. No. But here's the deal, right? So I was having this conversation yesterday, and I said, these people who go around and they just bitch and moan about everything. They, the government, the crime, the cost of electricity. And listen, we also do on this show. We're all human. Mm-hmm. You fall into this trap. Don't let too much of it happen in your life, though. Keep it to a minimum. It's so unnecessary. Really, life is pretty damn good, even if you are. And I hear people saying, well, I don't have a lot of money. And the fact is, even if you think you don't have a lot of money right now, do you know that obesity is a bigger problem than starvation in the world?
How did we go from money to obesity?
No, but here's the deal. So what I'm saying is, if you are, if you can buy something from a shop, you realize what a massive change that is from having to grow something in your garden and hope, and then you have to harvest it like 6 months' time or 3 months' time or whatever it might be. You used to have to cook and hunt and make a plan for food. Humans used to spend something like 80 or 90% of their time just trying to find food.
Well, most people were farmers.
Yep, but
it's even, all they had to do.
Even if you were... even if you were, let's say, someone who had an education in 1500 or something, you were still spending most of your time trying to find food.
Yeah.
Or you were having someone else make the food for you, but you were obsessed with food. And now, whereas, you know, just a couple of years ago, a couple of decades ago, we had people like, who's that Irishman who's constantly rabbiting on about poverty? Bob Geldof. Oh. Him. We had him trying to raise money for Africa because... there were parts of this continent where people were, they were razor thin. They were like, do you remember those starving baby pictures that were so disturbing? That doesn't happen anymore. That's fantastic. Of course, there are probably far-flung parts of the world where it's still happening, but not on the scale that it used to. Like now, you know, Ethiopia is planting trees. A couple of years ago, Ethiopia was the driest, most poverty-stricken, famine-riddled place in the world. Everybody was always, my mother used to say to me when we were kids, if you don't finish your food, you're a greedy little fuck because there's some kid in Ethiopia who's not going to eat for a week.
Mm-hmm. That's, I always thought of these, some type of parenting.
I always thought of these poor kids in Ethiopia.
There's always Ethiopia.
Constantly hungry, and it was like a horror story for me. Every fucking meal, my mother used to pull this one out.
The Americans threw a lot of money at ads where there were dying children and flies on TV.
Yeah, but you know, Quincy Jones, We Are the World.
Well, we had so much guilt. We had so much guilt hammered into us when we were children that I dared not leave a scrap on my plate.
I still don't.
I feel frightened that some person is going to see it and go, but what about the Ethiopians?
Yeah, so, very true.
You know what? Here we are. We're having a great time. We're able to listen to podcasts. We're able to get on our phones and we can bitch about each other and social media and you
go
watch
on
the
first
news.
Dates.
Go on first dates like Gugu did and fly to Spain and do it. You know, like really, we have nothing to bitch about. Let's all just be happy today. Let's all get over this crap.
Especially
South Africans. Like, we love to moan, hey, you're, it's always something. It's always someone. It's never my fault. It's never like I should be grateful. Just a little bit of gratitude. I know this sounds like a lecture, but it's if I don't remind myself about it,
yeah,
I fall into the same trap. And before you know it, you're like, ooh, woe is me. Life is hard.
Basically like Damon.
Yeah. Well.
Did we have to name names?
Or like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, right?
Yes.
And I know there are people with real problems. I'm not being unsympathetic to you. I know there are people with real mental health issues, physical health issues, massive money problems. Relationship stuff, which is hardcore and very difficult to get through.
Psychopathic people.
Yes, those are all realities. Mm. But honestly, like it used to be, first of all, we mostly lived in like temporary dwellings that were made out of
mud and grass.
Yeah. And if you walked out of that at night, something was going to kill you. An animal, a person from an opposing tribe.
Mm.
Your uncle, something.
You couldn't pee in peace.
Ebola.
There was Ebola. There was always something coming to get you, you know? And now. Now people are like, oh no, I can't fill my pool because the water restrictions. What is wrong with you? Oh, drives me crazy. It really does. So, all right, we're going to try and find that Gugu. We'll put it on next week when he's back.
Yeah.
Finally, it's the weekend, baby. Yeah, very excited. And Fundo is on the show this morning. He's up early to join us. Ah, and this last time I got a t-shirt and was looking forward to wearing it. Oh, shucks. I'm not sure what you're talking about. That's from Ruth. Yeah, Ruth, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. Hi, is Pastor Manning still around? We need him to say prayers for the DA and the government. Pastor Manning is a powerful preacher man.
Oh, yes.
You remember Pastor Manning?
Oprah Winfrey
is the Antichrist.
Yes.
That one. And the guy who used to say, Obama is a Mac Daddy. He's like a self-loathing black man. You know, you get those people, you get self-loathing Jews, for example, and they always say they hate Israel because they, you know, they've got some issue with being Jewish, and then they're not comfortable with their identity. You get self-loathing black people, you get self-loathing white people, a lot of them vote DA.
Well, then talk about someone who complains a lot.
Who?
Yeah, Pastor Manning.
Yeah,
he complains about, like,
but he's hilarious.
People breathing.
I mean, like, again, if you take him seriously, you're going to get very, very angry. But this guy is hilarious. So yes, we must definitely try and find more of Pastor Manning. I agree.
Wow, Pastor Manning has a podcast.
Yep, Anushka, thanks for that suggestion.
I don't know if I'm grateful for that suggestion.
No, I'm not going to subscribe to that one, if you don't mind. All right, more messages coming through. This one from Sean. Sean says, plus all the trees this time of year. The trees with the skyline as the backdrop. Yes, that's beautiful. You think Bloemfontein is bad? Have you been to Umtata? The joy of calling both home makes me sad. Oh, well, you know what? Oh. Tato, don't be so hard on yourself. I mean, Pinky has to go back to... Are you going back for Christmas?
I'm not.
Oh, you're not?
She's not even doing that.
She says with glee. At least Bloemfontein has roses, right?
Yeah.
Not really.
Isn't it like the city of roses? Isn't that what it's known for?
Once there might have been one rose. And the Dutchmen who used to travel around in ox wagons and named so many of our cities and towns, and they settled there and made them. There would be like, there's a town called Twee Buffelsmit Een Skoot Doodgeskiet Fontein. Yeah.
For that exact reason.
Which means two buffaloes were killed with one shot in that. And then they founded a little town. I don't know if it's urban legend, but that's what they tell me.
In Bloem, they were like, what are we going to call this place?
Yeah.
I know, let's plant some roses.
Yeah, and some tani, like, had a rose seed in her pocket from Cape Town or something.
And we'll call it Flower Fountain.
And there was one little rose in this mostly desolate, very flat place with just nothing but savannah. And then one rose grew through the filthy parched earth.
And they thought.
And they went, Yarimades moi, kom ons noem het Bloemfontein. Beautiful.
It must have been so great to discover all of these new places.
Well, I got shat on yesterday on Instagram. Someone,
by who?
Oh, no.
Someone sent
it's
me.
It's supposed to be a happy place, Instagram.
I know. You think so, right? No, it's someone who listens to the show, and he was very upset with me.
Oh, what did he say?
Let me read this to you. I don't like to make stuff up.
Was it a comment?
No, he's a guy who listens to the show, so I'm not angry with him or anything.
Okay.
But he basically said, it could have even been Facebook, I'm not sure. But he's like really incensed that I'd said horrible and rude things about Kempton Park. So he says, hey Gareth, I've been a loyal listener of Cliff Central since the beginning, and I will continue. However, I'm not happy with the comment you made about Kempton Park.
Oh.
Sia mentioned that there are three places you can get that veggie burger.
The Beyond
Burger.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And one of them is in Kempton Park. And I said, oh, Jesus, well, that's not worth it.
Oh, and then we did, I think we did compare them to them.
Yeah, well,
the
yeah, exactly.
Horror movie,
we said people in that horror movie lived there. So he goes, yes, there are dodgy areas in Kempton Park, which we do have to go to. I'm certain you have the same in Pretoria. We have government schools of the highest standard, as well as private schools, which my daughter goes to. Kempton is not as bad as you make it out to be. Brakpan Springs, Nigel, is a completely different
subject. Oh, now you're pointing fingers.
You see, this is what I love. It's like,
no.
So this is Buchanan. That's his name. Buchanan says,
you
what
can't
a fabulous name.
It's a good name. So Buchanan is all defensive about Kempton, which is ridiculous, by the way, because first of all, I'm kidding. And if you can't work that out, then, you know, and I said to him, dude, I'm joking. I know nothing about Kempton Park. So then he eventually came back and said, look, I appreciate it. I got your sense of humor, but maybe I missed that one. Anyway, so now, and then he tucks into Brakpan and Springs and Nigel.
No, you see, there's so his credibility.
There is always
gone.
A hierarchy of like places. And if you're in a reasonable place, you always think a shittier place deserves some hatred. And if you're in that place, you find a place that's even more shitty so that you can shit on them. That's how people
do it. But we have to be honest, there is a hierarchy.
Yeah. And Kempton's not at the top, let's put
and
it
that way.
And
that's why Buchanan is able to carry on pointing fingers.
Yeah, and he loves it. He's just as bad as I am.
Buchanan, you must just understand.
All right, so there we go.
Anything past the airports for me.
A bit of love this morning. Morning team, any thoughts on the artwork by the student in KZN that is offending many religious people? All right, I don't know about this, but someone sent me the video and I just couldn't even have been bothered to watch. You know, I've told you before, I've moved on from like getting into arguments with religious people. It's just not worth it. Plus, they believe it. Doesn't hurt me. No big deal. But then things like this happen and you have to have a principled approach to the thing. So what happened was a school kid apparently used pages from the Bible to make some art project. And, you know, there was imagery of Jesus that was considered like quite offensive by Christians. And so the school has called for a disciplinary, I can't remember what the exact details of it are, but there's this huge shitstorm now about art. And the same thing happened with Jacob Zuma's spear painting. You remember that, where mm-hmm. they had a picture of him with his 4-5 sticking out? there are every time someone, and remember, Philistines, people who have no sophistication, people without culture, who were raised like animals by their parents, never appreciate art. And for them, art is inexplicable. They're unable to open their minds up and appreciate the fact that this is just someone's expression. So what they do is they try to have it banned. Kasatu and a lot of activists tried to have the spear painting banned when that came out. There have been a number of other artists. We had Yul Damaso in here not so long ago. His stuff's been banned and people try to get it off, you know, off social media and out of galleries. And it's just so childish. Like, you don't want to see the art, don't see the art.
Well, and then
if, you know, if you're worried about God being offended, let God deal with it. This is a kid at school who's brave enough, and I don't know what the art is. Maybe it's terrible.
No, well, I mean, I've looked at it, and I'm not an artist, and I can't see what the thing is.
No, they're referenced to, like, the Last Supper, and the image of Jesus is replaced with another reference of Ronald McDonald. So now people...
So what? So, like, how feeble is your connection to your religion if someone drawing a picture or using imagery like this is going to mess up your day? And
oh,
you've got grown adults running around worrying about this kid and his art. Like, really, in a complete, you know, panty knot, tit sling. These people are so angry.
Getting ridiculous, because in defense, other people are then saying the entire exhibition was meant to just be taken in. No one was allowed to take images of any of the artwork. So why did this person even decide to take
apparently
a photo?
What happened was that one of the parents was at the exhibition at the school and then decided to put this on social media and complain about it because it's very rude to Jesus. So what happened was everybody else who thinks
that's
like
the Richards Bay pastor.
I don't like the way that they've said this, though, in the news story. They allowed a matric pupil to display several works of art that mocked Jesus as a clown. Why didn't they say Ronald McDonald? It's not just any clown.
Yes, it's exactly.
Put some respect on his name.
If I were McDonald's, I'd be saying, like, where's our hashtag?
Yeah.
You know, we paid good money for that. Anyway, someone makes a good point here. Let me give credit to them, too. So Harmin says, the kid who made the art is a genius, made a name for himself as an artist before the age of 20. That's very impressive. Gareth, don't start ranting on religious people. They'll come at you with sticks and stones. Basopchi. That is from Mfundo. All right, yeah, you know what? You make a good point. But honestly, like, are we still stuck? If you don't like the art, don't look at it. Don't buy it. Don't interact with it. Why must you stop everyone else from doing that?
And then by you're inciting mutual hatred.
And you know what you do? You get people like me who otherwise are quite calm and on the outskirts and not interfering with you in your religion. You get me all fired up, and then I want to start knocking you to pieces again and proving how stupid you can be. And you do most of that work yourself. So you're asking for a fight you don't need. Really? Like, just behave yourself and I will leave you alone with what you believe, and you can leave me alone and we'll get along just fine. We don't have to talk about stuff we disagree with. We don't have to show each other offensive things. But the minute you start deciding on everyone else's behalf what should and shouldn't be allowed, I get cross with that. That just irritates me. If we drill down the hierarchy, Rob says, where do you expect would be the shittiest place in South Africa? If we started from Kempton, Benoni, Springs, which area does Springs look down on with disgust?
My GPS took me through some weird place that I'd never been to before recently, in between Pretoria and Kaya Sands.
Yeah.
And it was a swamp.
A swamp?
It's there were like 2 kilometers of dead body smell. Whoa. And there were still people functioning and eating and selling stuff on the side of the road.
In that stink.
I think that's the worst place.
Because they're now accustomed to it.
I'll try and find out where it was.
You don't know what it's called?
I don't think it had a name.
Pinky, what do you reckon's the worst place that you've ever been to that should be at the bottom of our hierarchy of shit?
Have you guys been to Gaalfontein?
Where?
Gaalfontein.
No.
It's not far from Midrand.
Oh.
Yeah, so what when I was there, I was quite shocked.
It's like dogs with their ribs showing, running around, eating dead people.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of thing.
That was quite an experience for me.
Looks like something from a horror movie. Sia, any suggestions?
No, Sia, of course, I have to think about it.
Sia never goes into areas below 5 stars.
I have to be. Yeah, that's me.
His radar stops working when he reaches areas like that.
Sia has got such a superiority complex.
I can't function.
He has such a superiority complex. Sia looks down on everything. So for him to even try to grade what he looks down on is it's just impossibly difficult for him.
I can grade the most beautiful places.
That's not what we're asking you.
Oh, shitty places. No, man.
Yeah. I'd love to know. If you live in Springs, what do you look down on? Ooh, here's a suggestion. I know this is a particularly cuck place. This is from Mike. Mike says, Uitenhage, Uitenhage is definitely one of the cuckest places. Yes. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
That's very good.
Are those all the suggestions coming?
Vanderbijl Park. No. Randfontein, these are all suggestions. Makadodorp.
Now people are just naming places where people they know stay that they hate.
Welkom, hands down.
Oh no,
no, Welkom has some
Velcom's
hope.
Welkom's got a it's got many traffic circles.
Welkom is pretty cuck. I definitely. Vanderbijl Park. There's lots of really, really terrible places. So if you have suggestions, why don't we just turn that into the whole thing for the show this morning? Do you want to hear the 5 things you need to know?
Yes.
Are you sure?
There was a pause there.
You guys don't sound so convinced.
Something all right. Like
Edwin Cameron has been appointed inspecting judge in the Judicial Inspectorate for Correctional Services from January next year. He will be ensuring prisoners are treated humanely. He hung up his robes in August, but now he's going to have to take on this job. President Cyril Ramaphosa has extended current inspecting judge Johan van der Westhuizen's tenure until the end of December. And then they're going to put Edwin Cameron in. So listen. We may not like prisoners, but we want them to be treated humanely, right? And I think that's only correct. This is amazing. Patrice Motsepe has donated 100 million towards a fund for job creation and skills training. That is a response to our horrible unemployment rate. It will be administered through 33 religious and faith-based organizations, Motsepe says are close to his heart, as they have been working together for many years. The foundation will support the fund financially until more funders can be brought on board. And they're going to... Okay, so here he said it's going to work like this. I've got a project that I believe will create a number of jobs.
Okay.
They're going to have an advisory council, which will give an application to where jobs and skills are to evaluate whether this is a job-creating project that should be funded. And then you can make your application to them. And if you've got an idea that might create some jobs, whether it's a small business or an NGO that you think can pull some people out of unemployment, then he might as well help you. 100 million. You see, people always go, they're rich, they're rich, they're rich. They're such shits. Let me tell you something.
The rich. The rich.
The rich. Such shits. The rich are the only people who fund these things. Where would you be if you were looking for funding without the rich? Screwed, that's where. There's a new device, a software device that costs a few thousand rands. It can be bought online It's behind a spate of car thefts, security companies and police say. Car thieves are employing the use of diagnostic key readers to override a car's security system and clone car keys based on the data that the key reader is able to siphon off the car's onboard logistics and diagnostics. Oy, oy, oy. So you can buy one of these things.
I'm definitely not clever enough to be a criminal.
Yeah, but this is quite some piece of equipment.
Sure.
It reads the key, and then it duplicates the signal that the key gives to the car and vice versa. So you can unlock a car with any key.
Remember those old-fashioned steering locks?
Yes.
And gear locks.
The gorilla lock.
I've seen a couple.
My dad's car was, someone tried to steal it outside my house.
Yeah.
And the dashboard was ripped to shreds and there were wires hanging out all over. But the gear lock was still on.
That's it.
And they couldn't get it.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about the steering lock or the gear lock?
He had both.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you remember when starting a car was a full-on operation? You had to get in. You would have to take the steering wheel lock off.
Unlock
you had to take
wheel.
The gear lock off. You had to put back in your radio. It was
yes, that's right.
Yeah. Like 7 steps before you could actually take off.
Wow.
We used to carry our radios in our handbags.
Yes, people used to take the radio face off and put it in the handbag.
That was after, but yes.
How amazing.
You would have to take that foil-looking thing that used to cover
the reflector. Your...
Oh, shit. Some people still have those. I see them often.
They work.
You have to throw that in the back seat. So what is that? Step 1, 2.
No
three,
wonder there's so many hijackings in this country. People get into their cars and it takes like 15 minutes to get ready to drive, and a hijacker just has to walk up and wait.
Yeah, you're a soft target.
Yes.
4 steps before you can leave. Jeez.
All right. Some suggestions on shitty places, which we'll get to in a minute. But this is important. Fans and family have taken a pause to remember Double HP a year after his death. Jabulani WHP Tsambo, of course, was remembered a year after his passing. I like that because often people are caught up in the moment, and then a year later you don't hear a thing from those people who were so emotional.
Mm.
Now, he was a friend of ours. We really loved having him here. He wrote songs for us. He was a part of our family. And I am very, very happy that we are pausing this morning just for a moment to remember WHP's contribution to South African music and the things that he did during his life. His real name was Jabulani Tsambo. He battled depression and was found dead in his Rand Park Ridge home last year. And South Africans took it really badly. Today, thousands of fans have used the hashtag Rest in Peace WHP, RIP HHP, to upload songs, pictures, and videos in remembrance of the Motswako originator.
How quickly a year goes by.
I know, it doesn't feel like it, huh?
Mm.
It's amazing. So there's something to think about. And finally, in the 5 things, BP are going to test technology to recycle plastic bottles again and again. And maybe even that thing that Pinky slept in.
Plastic!
Look at her. So about...
Is it pink?
They're going to build a $25 million pilot plant to test new technology, which will allow plastic bottles and food packaging to be recycled again and again. Polyethylene terephthalate, which is PET, that's what we use mostly in recycled plastics. 27 million tons of it is used annually in packaging, with bottles accounting for around 23 million tons of that. BP said in a statement, they're going to invent this machine and put it into a plant, which will be able to recycle that over and over again. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. I don't see what's wrong with that. Good for BP.
BP.
We like to keep you moving.
What just happened?
That was the old advert. Don't look at me like...
You guys...
All right, are you ready for some more shitty places? By the way, Pinky, it looks like the WhatsApp line is not connected anymore, so just want to fire that up for us.
I wonder what's up.
Okay, so here are a few. Nothing surpasses, this one comes from Mfundo. He says, nothing surpasses a township in terms of the shittiest places to live. Somehow you'll see the sound, you hear the sound of a gun weekly. So that's pretty horrific.
Mm.
Shitholes, that's Mfundo. Hey, G, what do you make of this... hemorrhaging DA. It's going to be just Helen on her own by the end of the month. Ash, I think you're right. Klerksdorp is where people go to die. It is the cuckest place.
Oh, dear.
Any place your neighbor may attack you with his peg leg, actually. Wherever Hijo Baldi Polisi came from is definitely one of the worst places. Does anyone know where that is?
Wasn't that in Benoni?
Yeah, I think it was East Rand.
See, I don't want to mention the East because, you know, people there get really riled up, so I won't.
Craddock.
Really?
Yeah.
Eastern Cape.
Butterworth, Eastern Cape. Delft in the Cape Flats. Brandfort is right up there, apparently. When I was there 10 years ago, the Avia Beer had a march through the town.
Well,
and people were cheering them.
That's nothing compared to Leanne, who had to go to school with them. So actually, I'll dispute that.
Cosmos City is right there at the bottom. That suggestion comes from Spore. Yeah, Cosmo City's pretty shit. I've driven through there a couple of times.
Actually, to Mfundo's point, last night I watched the Prince Harry and Meghan Markle documentary that they filmed while they were here in the country. You're the way they depicted South Africa.
Did they do some poverty tourism?
Nyanga Township in South Africa.
The worst place in the world.
The murder capital of... I was even so scared myself.
Maybe rich people will send us money, so it's fine.
800 murders recorded in the past year alone. Then they cut to a scene of the police officers who were on duty guarding the royals from Nyanga Township. One lady who works for the SAPS says, "We have to pray every morning when we leave our houses that we come back home alive." I'm like, "Aye, guys, okay." Got like SA Tourism, get onto it now.
But, I mean, that we shouldn't allow. We should say to them, you know what? If you think it's so horrible and you're coming here to make this documentary about how horrible it is, rather just stay away. You're like Meghan Markle's going to make it better by walking around in a fancy dress and waving at people, picking up a baby every now and then.
Then they cut to District 6. And then they cut to the shot of just showing the area where the old buildings were of District 6. And they say, "Cape Town still is an eyesore for segregation in South Africa, all because of this strip of grass."
Guys,
can we talk about all of the great things that South Africa has? Yikes. So maybe according to that documentary, there's even more shitty places
coming. Funderbale Park South isn't cuck at all, according to this person. Let me see who this is. This is from Sean. Sean says, "It's actually really nice. River activities, summer fun. I'm going there this weekend, actually." I'm looking forward to it. Okay. All right. Burgersfort. Does anyone know where that is?
Seen it before and heard of it, but...
Springs.
Oh, it's in Limpopo.
Springs, apparently, has a common people's suburb called Geduld.
Yeah.
So the people in Springs look down on Geduld.
Yeah, you know what? We're deep in this judgment train, so let's carry on.
Dangerous sure. Dave says, "The worst place in South Africa is where my in-laws live." And then he doesn't give any detail. Mm-hmm. And
if someone by the name of Dangerous Dave says that, we should take it seriously.
Okay. Lito says, "Da'ar in the Northern Cape is the cuckest boring town. Nicknamed De Ses Plas, so you can imagine. Every murder case here becomes a cold case." Oh, my God. What a horrible place. Kokstad. People are saying Kokstad is... Could there be a worse place than Kokstad?
Actually, my suggestion is somewhere in the Northern Cape.
Yeah, that's pretty horrible.
I remember going to Upington.
Yes.
Once... And they called it an international airport where I landed. And I thought, well, technically maybe, because might go to Namibia. One random flight might go there. The same person who was guiding our plane to taxi in properly and park was the same person who had to offload our luggage. That should have been the first sign. But I was there, it was in 2016, and we were with Mikasa. They were launching their album. It was called like Home Sweet Home. So they wanted to go around the country and showcase these beautiful spots. I guess that campaign was working well up until we got to the Northern Cape, because Mikasa had to find a place to perform in Northern Cape. and really couldn't find anywhere.
Oh, I mean, no. Did the people even know they were there? Because most people in the Northern Cape are drunk the whole time. The whole time.
I'm not even joking. I'm not even joking.
Up, children are drunk. Adults are drunk. The dogs are drunk. Everyone is just drunk the whole time. No one there is sober at any time of the day.
We lived at this. I'm just going to call it like it is. This shitty, shitty B&B.
Where they have carpets on the wall and on the floor.
And Mikasa had to perform at this like Shabin.
Oh no.
Shabin, you say Shabin. That's their 5-star restaurant.
We walked from the B&B to the Shabin to watch Mikasa perform. We're like, okay, this is so great. And then we thought, no, you know, there's still some merit in Upington. Let's do something.
People smashing bottles on each other's
the
heads.
The next day, in terms of sightseeing.
Mothers trying to auction their kids in the interval.
We like, had.
Hey, Mikasa! Buy my child! 50 rand!
In terms of sightseeing, the next day we went to a glass making factory. This is when I thought, getting up on my pony, let me get out of here.
Wow. All right, we got even more suggestions. Matatiele, Pongola, Freyate, Matubatuba.
Matubatuba. Yeah.
Sure.
Who is it?
Matubatuba is in KZN.
Wow, here's an interesting point from Miguel, who is responding to something Sia responded to on Wednesday. Someone criticized Sia in an email to the show.
Oh, yeah?
Said Sia's their least favorite person. Mm-hmm. And Sia told them to fuck off. Miguel says, could we have more of this, please? It's quite entertaining when we see the shadow version of Sia, where his ugliness and his claws come out. Huh. Very interesting.
I don't think that is ugly.
Mikasa actually performed in Da'ar last year at some soccer stadium. It's not even used.
So they went back to the Northern Cape.
Yo, back for more torture.
Apparently you pronounce Kalini, C-O-L-I-G-N-Y. You pronounce it Kalini, and that's in the northwest. Apparently that is a sad, sad town. Oi, that sounds horrendous.
Some people will be born there and die there and never see anything else. And that's their reality.
Someone says, don't forget Secunda. Well, that is a terrible place. I can speak for a little while about Secunda.
What
Secunda is like in Lord of the Rings, Mordor. Oh. You ever seen Lord of the Rings? Do you remember that movie? Mm-hmm. Remember where the volcano is that Frodo has to throw the ring into? Uh-huh. Yeah, it's like that's what Secunda looks like. In fact, that is a...
It's factories, isn't it?
No, it's one big power plant. Yes. It's got these chimneys that burn. The flames come out of the top. It's terrifying. It's one of the worst places I've ever seen, ever. And apparently you can't breathe the air or drink the water there. I mean, that's just what
I've
heard.
There's an article here saying Secunda's air is the second best in South Africa.
No, please.
No, just kidding.
No. You tease. You made them feel better for a second. No, apparently you developed like...
lots of coal fields.
Yeah.
Sasol's extraction refinery production place.
You develop what, like a third arm?
No, well, probably, but certainly respiratory problems.
You don't want to know what I'm envisioning in my head. You know the movie, the horror movie, The Hills Have Eyes?
Yeah, it's like that. It's pretty good, actually. Yeah, my friend, we're getting lots of, so now we're getting the intel that we need. This is from Ash. Ash says, my friend worked at Sasol and Secunda, and he also called it Mordor. See? Not just
so
me.
So Sasolburg is the big one, and the reason why Secunda is called Secunda is because it's second. Meaning the second Sasolburg.
So it's not even the best factory place. Power plant place. It's the second best. That's so shit. Listen to this.
So Uitenhage is not that bad, seeing that VWSA is there and they are going to be going completely off the grid with an investment of something like 3 billion rand, and they're going to create 1,000 jobs. So Uitenhage not so bad.
All right.
The worst place for me is Veldriv because of the stink of dirty fishermen and rotten fish. It's a horrible place.
That's a horrible place.
Horrible place. Thanks, Sean. Gareth, you need to see that kid's art. It's actually really good. These people who have no culture must get fucked. That two-toned twat must read a book, Carl. Okay, Carl, very passionate about art.
Two-toned twat?
Yes, that's the guy who complained about that kid. Kuruman and Kartu should be high on the list. Yo, that's a Katu. Sounds bad, right?
How do you spell that?
K-A-T-H-U. Rustenburg is apparently... Well, listen, I've seen Rustenburg. It's not so bad.
Rusty dusty.
Apparently, there's a suburb in Rustenburg called Die Urs, which is horrible. So how's that? Okay, here's another suggestion.
Let the record reflect that the most intelligent listeners in the country have come up with a list of the shittiest places in South Africa.
Yes.
And the South hasn't made it onto that list.
Ah, the South.
So big ups to Leanne and myself, who are from the South. Leanne from Monjo.
Ah,
me from Forest Hill, which is right next to Turfantine.
Oh, yeah.
And praise Jeebus for Springs and Benoni.
Jeebus.
No, that's so true.
Gotta represent. The
South wasn't mentioned.
So what's the cuckest place in the South?
In the South, I'd probably say Boysons.
Really?
Mm.
Mm.
Not great.
Is Boysons just on the other side of CBD?
Kind of.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of.
I had, and you know, when I used to live in Soweto and driving to work, I had to take the M1 and I once had an accident on my way to work.
We've spent a half hour just
talking about how shitty
throwing shade throwing shade at little towns.
I'm probably offending a lot of people.
Let's be honest. So I had an accident on my way to work, and you know, when you get into an accident, you have to report it to the closest police station.
Yes.
So I had to go to a Boysons police station. Yo, yo, yo.
That's on the main road.
I nearly wanted to abandon my car and go, never mind.
No. How many domestic abuse people are in front of you in the line?
You do not park your car outside the Boysons police station because it will be stolen.
I'm not taking the piss out of the situation.
I'm saying outside the police station.
No, you don't. I've had a brick thrown through my window in Boysons.
Oh my gosh.
What? I ran over another person in Boysons because he came up to the pedestrian window. This is after having a brick thrown. He came up to the pedestrian window and put his face in front of the mirror and looked in the car. So I reversed and clapped his face with my car.
Boysen sounds like the Walking Dead. It sounds like you're in a zombie apocalypse and you've got to do
it's not great.
That kind of thing happens in the Walking Dead.
And I used to go to church in Boysons, to Rhema. It's where I was reborn.
Oh. You have stories. What do you always
say?
Says
a lot. You have lived.
Girl.
You have lived, girl. Nuh-uh.
Says so it in North.
Technically, I may have been born. I was actually born in the east of Joburg.
Yeah.
But second, I was reborn. My second birth was in Boysons.
Boysons. It's beautiful. C. Robinson says, KZN North Coast has Mandeni. We have a saying, I got fresh with a girl once and she said kiss me where it stinks, so I took her to Mandeni.
Mandeni is just before Richards Bay in KZN, and it's a town known for its paper-making factory.
Oh, that's why it stinks.
Apparently, Matubatuba, who came up earlier as a place on the list, really shit place, according to this person. My brother has a vet there, knee deep in rubbish. Half the town is selling fallen fruit. The shops are all like linoleum with broken lights. Crime is like the Wild West. It's so cuck. That's from Lee. Shit, that sounds horrible. Wow. I've been avoiding going to malls. I'm too scared of Boney M. Yes, that's a good point. We're about to get into Boney M time.
Yeah, the Christmas stuff is out. It's all there. The reindeers, the glitter, it's all happening.
It's good point. That is a good point. We need to start preparing ourselves for Boney M and Christmas music and shopping. And have the decorations gone up everywhere?
Yeah, they have.
Everywhere.
I'll say it. Woolworths has got everything out.
Get ready, everybody.
Really?
It's happening.
I'm so excited.
They're letting it all hang out for Christmas.
Oh.
Sure. I have plans for December that involve going nowhere. That's my plan.
I'm going away for a week to Jeffreys Bay, which is nice.
Really? Some people included it on our list, actually, Jeffreys Bay.
Oh, well, that's okay. I don't really care where it is. It's a house on the beach.
Yeah, well, it's Jeffreys Bay. Some people say that should be in the top 10 of shit places as well. So there we go. All right, enough of tearing everyone else's towns to pieces. We've had a lot of fun with this. You're all terrible people. And you're going to burn in hell one day because of the things you've said about other places.
You've made people cry today.
And if you live in one of those places that came up today, I'm really sorry. Of course, we didn't mean it personally. Well, maybe we did.
We were just being extra observant.
How could we mean it personally when we don't know people who live there?
They've just told us who they are.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so let's try harder next time, all right? CliffCentral.com